नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण परिष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनि। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग from the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The chapter is titled as Rajaguhya Yoga or Most Confidential Knowledge. So Krishna starts this chapter. I will do a quick recap of what we have seen till now by telling that idam tute guhyatamam pravakshami anasuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yad gyatva mokshase ashubhat. O Arjuna, now I am going to tell you the most confidential knowledge. The confidential knowledge about the knowledge of the difference between the body and the soul, the Sankhya, and the knowledge of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, in which Bhakti is secondary. I have already described to you in the first six chapters. And in the seventh and eighth chapter, I have mostly spoken about Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti or predominant Bhakti, Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, and Yoga Mishra Bhakti, where Bhakti is predominant, that is Guhya Tara, more confidential knowledge. Now, I am going to speak to you about Shuddha Bhakti, which is most confidential knowledge. And I am going to speak to you this because Anasuyave, because you are non-envious. So, which means this subject matter should not be revealed to the envious people. Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam Yadgyatva Mokshase Ashubhat. So, I will reveal to you this most secret knowledge of Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti, along with Vijnanam. Vijnana is through that Bhakti, how you can realize me. Bhaktyamam abhijanati, Bhaktyaham ekaya grahyaha. I am going to describe to you that also, knowing which you will be freed from all kinds of suffering. For the devotee, the main suffering is actually separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he says seven characteristics of this bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti. Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram Midamuttamam, Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartam Avyayam. He says Rajavidya, this is the highest type of bhakti. You know, there is all kinds of Mishra Bhakti, but of all the type of bhakti, this is the topmost form of bhakti. Rajaguhyam, this is the most secret of all other types. Pavitram Midam Uttamam, and the kind of purification that bhakti brings in, which describes, which destroys prarabdha karma, aprarabdha karma, and then the sinful desires, sinful vasanas, and the enviousness towards Krishna. Everything is, you know, from the root cleansed by bhakti. Therefore, it is called as Pavitram Midam Uttamam. Whereas the other processes do only partial cleansing. Yamadibir yogapatehi kamalobadibir muhuhu mukunda sevaya yadvattata atma addana shamyati. You know, the other practices like yama, niyama, asana, you know, these kind of karmajnana, ashtanga, ityadi yogas may cleanse some of the impurities to some extent, but the complete purification that bhakti produces, that is not accomplished by any other process. So that is the third characteristic, pavitram idam uttamam. Fourth is pratyakshavagamam. You know, one can directly experience the one's progress on the path of bhakti. Bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir anyatra cheshatrika eka kala. So one can experience the paraisha anubhava and virakti simultaneously as and when one progresses on the path of bhakti. So therefore, on the path of bhakti, progress is very clearly understandable, pratyakshavagamam. Dharmyam, even though one may not practice properly the prescribed duties that may be assigned to him according to the Varna and Ashrama, even though generally the word dharma refers to Varnashrama dharma, but a devotee may be seen to not very studiously perform his prescribed duties according to his Varna and Ashrama. But it is dharmyam because Dharma is, you know, the Shastras, whenever they speak about Dharma, before speaking Dharma, they define Adhikar. And Dharma is according to Adhikar. Because most people fall within Karma Adhikar. You can say like 99% of the people or more, they fall within Karma Adhikar. Therefore, generally the word Dharma is used to indicate Varnashrama Dharma. So, because bhakti is very uncommon, people think if someone is practicing their prescribed duties according to the bhakti shastras, people may think that, oh, he is not following dharma. It may seem like that. Why? Because 99.99% of the people have karma adhikar, and therefore it is the dharma shastras which define their duties according to their varna and ashrama. So, because the vast majority of people fall within that category, those devotees who are very, very rare in this Sudurlabha, Prashantatma, Kotishvapi Mahamune, it is very rare for bhakti, for practitioners of bhakti are even more rarer than the practitioners of jnana, yoga, etc. So, therefore, when such people are seen not to be performing so scrutinizingly the limbs of Varna and Ashrama, one may think that, oh, he is not a dharmic person, but he says, no, dharmyam. This is definitely dharma. So that's what Srila Bhakti, Srila Vishwanathachakravarti Thakur, he mentions here. He says that it does not deviate from dharma, because even though one may fail to perform all dharmas or religious duties, those dharmas are fulfilled simply by executing bhakti. Yatataror mula nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujopashaka. Pranopahara chaitendriyanam tateva sarvarhanam achyutejya. You know, just by practicing bhakti, everything else is accomplished. So it is dharmyam. One need not think that, oh, he is not performing dharma. He may be practicing bhakti, but where is he performing dharma? One should not think like that. One who is practicing bhakti is automatically dharmic, because bhakti is paro dharma. It is not just dharma, but it is paro dharma. Okay. Then, susukam kartum. Bhakti is very easy to perform. You know, the other practices involve refraining the application of one's senses in these sense objects. So, refraining the senses is very difficult, especially when the desire is still there. But bhakti gives the opportunity to engage opportunity for engagement of senses for the pleasure of Krishna, which is much more easier than just refraining the senses from acting. So therefore, susukam kartum, very easy to perform. And avyayam, avyayam means it is not a temporary practice. Karma yoga is temporary. Once one reaches the stage of jnana, one gives up karma. Jnana yoga is temporary. Once one reaches the stage of a Jivan Mukta, he gives up the path of jnana also. But bhakti is never given up. Bhakti continues even after attaining one's sadhya. So there is no, so bhakti is permanent, avyayam. It is eternal. And only anything which is within the three modes, its manifestation is temporary. So because only bhakti is beyond three modes, Karma, Jnana, Yoga are within the three modes. Therefore, they are not avyaya. Only bhakti is, Shuddha bhakti is avyaya. So in this way, he describes, you know, the path of bhakti. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram, Midam Uttamam, Pratyaksha Vagamam, Dharmyam, Susukam, Kartum, Avyayam. Then he says, Ashraddhadana Purusha, Dharmasyasya Parantapa, Apraapya Mam Nivartante, Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. So, though, but those who do not have faith in this path of bhakti, they do not attain me, and such people remain in this material world, life after life, experiencing birth and death. Like that. So, then he says, actually, this bhakti is characterized by one can develop proper bhakti only when one starts by understanding the Supreme Lord's Aishwarya, especially his Aishwarya with respect to how he maintains, creates and maintains this material universe. So his material Aishwarya is the most important thing to understand, because the visible universe is controlled before even we trust that there is an invisible spiritual world that exists. One needs to understand that the visible material world is completely controlled by Krishna. So therefore, Krishna's Aishwarya, especially his Aishwarya with respect to creation and maintenance of this material world, is very, very critical to understand in order to understand the higher pastimes which Krishna performs. Which Krishna performs in conjunction with his internal energy. So therefore, in this most confidential knowledge, interestingly, Krishna does not speak about his Rasa Leela or his activities in Vrindavan or anything of that sort. He actually talks about Krishna's Aishwarya, especially Aishwarya with respect to this material creation and maintenance. Okay, Srishti Leela. So he starts by telling, Mayatatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham tesho avastitaha. Arjuna, Mayatatam idam sarvam, I pervade this whole universe avyakta murtina through my form, which is invisible to material senses, which is through the form of Paramatma. Matstani sarvabhutani, all entities are in me because I am their cause and controller, you know, because they are all dependent on me. I am upadrashta anumanta bharta bhokta maheshwarah paramatmeti chapyukta. So because Krishna is the upadrashta and anumanta, every single living entity is dependent on Krishna, but Nacha aham teshu avastitaha, but I am not in them because I am independent, you know, I am totally detached. So we were discussing the other day that in this material world, any relationship is a relationship of mutual dependence. There is no one relationship There is no one relationship in which, you know, of course, in a relationship, there may be one person may be more dependent and the other person may be less dependent. But nevertheless, there is definitely, there is any relationship in the material world that there is some level of mutual dependence, mutual attachment. Like you may say, between Ambani and an ordinary living entity, who is dependent on whom? If you see both, the ordinary living entity is dependent on Ambani for whatever gadgets and other things that he may need, but Ambani is also dependent because he has to, as the customer, purchase the object from him. So even though the customer's dependence on Ambani may be more, but still on a minute level, the Ambani is also dependent on the customer. So any relationship in the material world is a relationship of mutual dependence. So now Krishna is the cause of all the living entities. He is the cause of maintaining them, but still Krishna is completely detached. So he says, but I am not in all these living entities because I am completely independent of everything. I'm completely detached. And then the next verse he says, Nachamatstani Bhutani Pashyame Yogamaishwaram Bhutabran Nachabhutasto Mamatma Bhutabhavana. And then again he says, Matstani Sarvabhutani. And then the very next verse he says, Nachamatstani Bhutani. Even though everything is situated in me, they are not situated. They are not situated in me since I am completely independent of everything. Again, he says this. And he says, Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram. See the supernatural power of mind. See the supernatural power of mind. Bhuta Brit. Even though I maintain everything in this material world, Bhuta Bhavana, and I protect all of this, but Bhutabrin Nacha Bhutasto Mamatma Bhuta Bhavan. Bhutabrin Nacha Bhutasto Na Bhutastaha. But I am not situated in them, in my spiritual body, because I am detached. So, in the material world, if you see, anyone will protect something or maintain something, Bhuta Brit, Bhuta Bhavana. One will protect something or maintain something only if there is an attachment. That is why if you see in this world, father and mother maintain and protect their own children. But something happens to someone else's children, they are least bothered. Okay. If someone shows in a TV that, there was an accident and this particular truck came under, dashed on this, Innova car. And the person who is watching may feel very amused. Are, this Innova car looks just like ours. See how this truck dashed it. And you may even smile at it, laugh at it. But after 5 minutes, if you come to know that it was actually your Innova car, suddenly you get a heart attack. The person gets a heart attack. It was mine. Like that. So in this material world, whenever we maintain something or we protect something purely because of attachment, wherever there is an observation of protection and maintenance, it is solely due to attachment in this material world. But Krishna says, Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram. Look at me. I maintain and protect this universe very diligently, but I am totally detached from this. And then he gives an example to explain this. Yatakasha stito nityam vayur sarvatrago mahan tata sarvani bhutani mastani tyupadaraya. Just as the wind situated in the ether is supported by the ether, in the same way, I support all the living entities. So, what is this example? He says that even though the wind is always situated in the ether, which is supporting, and ether which is supporting the wind, but nevertheless, ether is completely detached from the wind, even though it is supporting the wind. In the same way, even though I support all the living entities and this whole universe, I am completely detached from it. So Arjuna says, okay, you just told Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram, look at this inconceivable power of mind. But by giving this example of ether and wind, you have made what is inconceivable very much conceivable. Right? So you have made it very much conceivable. Just as you are like the ether, even though ether is supporting the wind, but the ether is detached from the wind. So you have explained it. If it is so inconceivable, how could you explain it? He says, it is still inconceivable because ether and wind both are inanimate objects. They are jadavastu. They have no consciousness. So where there is no consciousness, they are constitutionally detached. There is no question of attachment in a jadavastu. But amongst conscious beings of this world, wherever there is protection and maintenance, that is solely due to attachment. I am also a conscious being. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. You know, I am a conscious being, but despite being conscious, and even though I maintain and protect this world and all the living beings in it, but I am detached. So therefore, this is Aishwaram, Yogam Aishwaram. This is inconceivable, because this is not something which is seen amongst the conscious beings of this world. So that's what he says. So here Krishna, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti says, among conscious beings, however, detachment does not exist anywhere except in the Lord, even though he is at once, contains everything and dwells in everything. This fact establishes the inconceivability of the Lord. So then Krishna continues. He says, Sarva Bhutani Kaunteya Prakritim Yanti Mamikam Kalpakshaye Punastani Kalpadau Visrajamyaham. And all things. So someone may say, okay, while everything is there during creation, you maintain everything. But what happens at the time of destruction? Yes, at the time of destruction, all these things merge with my energy and the energy comes inside me. Okay. So kalpakshaye punastani kalpadav visrajamyaham. And then at the time of creation, I again create everything. Prakritim swam avashtabhya visrajami punapuna. Bhuta gramam imam kratsnam avasham prakrishir vatat vashat. Being situated in Prakriti, which belongs to me, I create again and again all the living entities who are all dependent, being under the control of their natures caused by their previous actions. Subsequent creation happens because of their own nature, according to their karma and swabhava. The subsequent creation, they get an appropriate body according to their karma and swabhava. And they all are completely under the control of their own natures. Avasham prakritir vashat. Nachamam tani karmani nibadnanti dananjaya. Udasina vadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. Actually, Arjuna may ask that so much activity you perform, don't you get bound by those activities just like the jiva gets bound by his activities in this material world? You are engaged in serious material activities within this material realm. Won't you be bound by these activities? Krishna says, Nachamam tani karmani nibadnanti dananjaya. I am not bound by any of these activities, O Dananjaya. Why? Udasinavad asinam. I am situated just like an indifferent party. Asaktam teshu karmasu. I am totally unattached to these activities. Actually, bondage arises from attachment to action. I am totally unattached from any of this action because all my desires are automatically fulfilled. I don't have to perform any action. So therefore, I have no attachment to these actions. So therefore, there is no bondage. Nachamam tani karmani nibadnanti dananjaya udasina vadasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. Okay. So this is where we ended our discussion last week, last Friday. So now we are going to continue this discussion further. But before we start this discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on whatever we discussed last week or whatever we have summarized today, we will take before we continue the discussion further. Anything anyone would like to share as add? Okay. If there is none, let's continue our discussion. So Krishna continues. He says, Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam ketunanena kaunteya जगत विपरिवर्तते मया अध्यक्षेण बाय माय डायरेक्शन प्रकृति ही सूयते सचर अचरम. प्रकृति गिव्स राइज टू द यूनिवर्स ऑफ मूविंग एंड नॉन मूविंग एंटिटीज. मया अध्यक्षेण प्रकृति सूयते सचराचरम. मया अध्यक्षेण बाय माय डायरेक्शन कृष्णा सेज. ओके, विच मीन्स दिस इज टॉकिंग अबाउट एक्चुअली माया रेफर्स टू कारणोदगसाय विष्णु माया. ओके, बट कृष्णा सेज माया अध्यक्षेण. पॉइंट टू बी नोटेड थ्रू आउट भगवद्गीता कृष्णा यूसेस माया अहम एंड ऑल दीज थिंग्स रेफरिंग टू हिज ओन एक्सपेंशंस ओनली. But it happens very subtly. You won't even notice. As Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta spritir jnanam apohanam cha. Sarvasya cha aham hridi sannivishto. I am situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. So is Krishna situated as Krishna himself? No. Krishna is situated as Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu. So there the word aham refers to Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu. Now, how is Krishna using the word aham when it is actually Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu? This is because the amshi can, because Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu is his amsha, therefore the amshi can say, I am situated, there is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong. Because he is the amshi. Okay. And Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu is his amsha. Now here he says, Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Under my direction, prakriti gives rise to the moving and non-moving entities. So, my refers to Karanodhaka Sai Vishnu. But because Karanodhaka Sai Vishnu is also an amsha of Krishna, therefore the amshi can say, by my direction, nothing wrong. Just like the owner of Ford company, he can say, you want to see the latest car that I have produced? And then he shows the latest model. So now, is it wrong? Because the owner may not have visited the factory even once during the production of that car. But he says, you know, do you want to see the car that I have produced? Is it wrong? Nothing wrong. Because all the others who produced it are his amshas, his subordinates. Now, when the owner's car comes, own car, own personal car, a factory worker cannot say, look at my car, how does my car look like? Can he say that? No. He cannot say, because it belongs to the owner. So the amshi, the source of all the expansions, when he is addressing one of his expansions, he can use the word aham, maya, mama, etc. But the amsha cannot say like that. You know, that is not possible. Okay. So throughout Bhagavad Gita, interestingly, if you see, Krishna, whenever he uses these words, maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina, there, Maya refers to Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu. Okay. Maya. By my invisible form. My invisible form, my form which is invisible to the materialized, that form is the form of Paramatma. That is not the form of Krishna playing flute. It is the form of Paramatma holding Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. But because that form is the Amsha of Krishna, therefore, Krishna can say, Maya tatamidam sarvam. And here, Maya adhyakshena prakriti or elsewhere, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. Or elsewhere, Krishna says, Rishibir, what is that? Maharshaya saptapurve chatvaro manavastata madbhava manasa jata yesham loke ima praja. Krishna says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that the seven rishis and the 14 manus are my manasa putras, he says. Now, they are whose manasa putras? They are actually Brahmaji's manasa putras. But he says they were born from my mind. Is it wrong? Were they born from Krishna's mind or Brahmaji's mind? They were born from Brahmaji's mind. But Brahmaji is just an amsha. Brahma is an amsha, vibhinnamsha of Krishna. So is it wrong for Krishna to say that they were born from my mind? No, nothing wrong. So therefore, from the if you observe the usage of these kind of words in Bhagavad Gita, very clearly, very subtly suggests who is the Amshi and who are the Amshas. That is very clear. Can someone recollect of any other verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna uses aham, mama, maya, mine, I, belonging to me, anything like that? Can you recollect some verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna uses these kind of words? Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate. First, if three people, all three people same day, give the same answer. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate. Yes. Okay. Any other verse? You know, where Krishna talks about himself. Sarvadharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. So that mam ekam can refer to any Vishnu Tattva avatars. It need not be only to Krishna. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. Actually, if you see, go to many of the temples, Sri Vaishnava temples in Divyadesham temples or whatever in South India. If you see, in the Supreme Lord's hands, there is an Abhaya Hasta, a mudra which shows, which indicates fearlessness. Don't be fearful, Ashvasana mudra. So in that, the word Ma Shuchaha is indicated. So Ma Shuchaha, do not fear. Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. So that Mamekam Sharanam Vraja can refer to any Vishnu Tattva. Okay. Manmana, Bhava Madbhakto, Madhyaji, Mam Namaskuru also can refer to any of his Amshas. It does not necessarily exclusively refer only to Krishna. Right? Okay. Then, Mamevaya Prapadyante Mayametam Tarantite. So, Mamevaya Prapadyante also can refer to any of the Amshas of Krishna. It does not exclusively refer only to Krishna. Daiviyesha Gunamayi Mam Maya Durattya. Aham Atma Gudakesha. So, in that whole chapter of 10th chapter, he's talking about I am Uchchaishrava, I am Airavata, I am Shukracharya and all that. But those are all actually his vibhutis. Those are his vibhutis. So, they are not even Vishnu Tattva Amshas. They are actually Vibhinna Amshas, or his energies, actually. Okay. Yeah. Anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvam mam. Bhajasvam mam refers to any of the Amsha of Krishna. It is not necessarily only Krishna. Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. Mayi sarvam idam protam sutre manigana iva. This actually refers to Paramatma actually. This refers to Paramatma. Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. Mayi sarvam idam protam sutre manigana iva. Right. Aham bija pradapita. Aham bija pradapita. What is the beginning of that verse? Anyone remembers? Aham bija pradapita. What is the beginning of that verse? While you remember, recollect this. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevar. So that mameva smaran can refer to any of the Vishnu Tattva avataras, any of the amshas of Krishna. It need not necessarily refer only to Krishna. Is it that wherever Krishna says mam eva, it is only for Krishna? Not necessarily. Mame, like for example, let's say, mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarante. So, if someone surrenders to Lord Rama, can they overcome maya or not? Shyam Mukund Prabhu, what is your understanding? Mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarante. There the word mam eva. He can, right? If someone takes shelter of Narasimha Dev, they can, right? So, yeah. Mam chayo avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatit ketan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. There also mam can refer to any of the avatars, but Krishna says mam. Because ultimately he is the amshi. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan Nana Vatara Makarod Bhuvane Shukintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramap Umanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Okay. He is the source of all the other avataras. Sarvayoni Shikonteya Prakritim Yanti Mamikam. Sorry. Sarvayoni Shikonteya Murtaya Sambhavantiyaha Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pradapita. So that Aham Bija Pradapita refers to actually Karanodakasai Vishnu. It is not Krishna himself. Sarvayonishikaunteya Prakritimyanti Mamikam. Sorry. Sarvayonishikaunteya Murtaya Sambhavantiyaha Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pradapita. That Aham Bija Pradapita refers to Karanodakasai Vishnu. Not Krishna, but Krishna uses the word aham to indicate that. What does it mean? It means Krishna is the amshi, all others are amsha. So therefore, it is not wrong usage. Yeah, aham kritur, aham yajna swadaham, aham aushadam, mantroham, aham evajyam, aham agnir, aham hutam, like that. So all of this, he is that because they are all his vibhutis. They are all his vibhutis, material vibhutis. This is like someone telling, oh, this is me. Okay. If I, like you show someone your photograph and say, oh, this is me. This is you. Which means I owe you 10,000 rupees. I can give that 10,000 rupees to your photograph. No. You have to give it to me. Oh, but you just said that this is me. Oh, this is me means this is a photograph of me. I mean, this is representing me. So similarly, all the material manifestations are Krishna in the sense they are all Krishna's vibhutis. They are all his vibhutis. Kshetragyam chapi mam viddi. Very good verse. Kshetragyam chapi mam viddi sarva kshetreshu bharata. So, kshetragyam chapi mam viddi, there the word mam indicates actually Shirodakasai Vishnu, the Paramatma. I am the kshetragya. Sarva kshetreshu. I am also the kshetragya situated in all the kshetras. But Krishna says, mam viddi, I am Kshetrajna in all the bodies, but that actually refers to not Krishna, but it refers to Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu. This is throughout Bhagavad Gita. Very rarely Krishna uses the word mam, maya, something, which actually refers only to Krishna and not to any of his amshas. Can you recollect some verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna uses the word mam, maya, aham, referring only to Krishna and to no one else? Can someone recollect some verse like that? Scratch your brain and tell me. Do you remember any verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna uses these words addressing himself? And here it refers exclusively to him and not to anyone else. Of course, some of the verses, the acharyas indicate that Krishna is pointing his fingers to his own chest and telling. Of course, it may be. But the principle may apply to any of his other amshis also, equally. Right? So someone says, Aham sarvasva prabhavo mattas sarvam pravartate. Iti matva mattas sarvam pravartate. Aham sarvasva prabhavo mattas sarvam pravartate. This need not just refer to Krishna actually. This can refer to any of his Purusha avatars. Mayadhyakshena prakriti specifically refers to Karanodaka Sai Vishnu actually. Manmana bhava madbhakto can refer to any of Krishna's avatars. If one thinks of Lord Ramachandra, if one becomes a devotee of Lord Ramachandra, if one worships Lord Ramachandra, still one will attain Lord Ramachandra. So it is not something which is exclusive to Krishna. Sayevayam mayatyadya yoga prokta puratanaha. Oh, this is beautiful. Bhakto sime sakacheti rahasyam yetaduttam. This is very intelligent. Yes, this specifically refers to Krishna because as Krishna, he is only instructing Arjuna. Right? So I am instructing you. Idam tute guhyatamam pravakshyami. So there it refers to Krishna only directly. Sayevayam mayatedya yoga prukta puratanaha. It specifically refers to Krishna. Right? Mamanusmara yudhyacha. Yes, because this is a specific instruction to Arjuna. Therefore, there mam refers to Krishna only. But the general principle of remembering Krishna and engaging in one's duty is applicable to any of the avatars. The general principle is applicable to all the avatars of Krishna. But the specific instruction to Arjuna, mam anusmara yudhyacha, mam specifically refers to Krishna. Mama eva amsho jiva loke. Mama eva amsho jiva loke. Jiva bhuta sanatana. Yes, you can say in one sense, yes. Swamsha and Vibhinnamsha, they all belong to Krishna only. Okay. Mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. Yeah, here Mayi does not necessarily refer exclusively to Krishna. It could be to any of his avatars. Ye yatamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham can refer to any of the avatars. It does not specifically refer to Krishna. Sarvadharman Parityaja can apply to any of the avatars, not just Krishna. Vedaischa Sarver Ahameva Vedya can refer to any of the avatars, not just exclusively Krishna. Ananyas Chintayantoma Yajana Paryupasate can refer to any of the avatars, not exclusively Krishna. Right? So, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam. Well, Maya there does not refer exactly to Krishna as Krishna. No. Kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyati. Me bhaktaha na me bhaktaha pranashyati Definitely 100% refers to all the devotees of all the avatars, not just Krishna's avatar. Okay, this one. What is that? Proktavan aham avyayam vivasvan manave praha. What is the beginning of that verse? What is the beginning of that verse? Proktavan aham avyayam vivasvan manave. Imam vivasvate yogam. Proktavan aham avyayam. That specifically does not refer to Krishna. Because Krishna, as Krishna, did not speak, give this knowledge to Vivasvan. It was Krishna in one of his different avatars, he gave this knowledge to Vivasvan. Krishna did not, even though he says Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham. But it was not Krishna. It was one of his avatars. Right. Okay. Anyways, okay. Thank you. This was a very good exercise. So the point that we are trying to understand here is, from the descriptions of Bhagavad Gita, it is very clear who is the Amshi and who is the Amsha. Keshavadrita Kurma Sharira. Keshavadrita Bhrugupati Rupa. Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa. Jaya Jagadish Hare. It is Keshavadrita. It is Krishna who expanded into these various avatars and expansions. So therefore, Krishna is the avatari. Others are avatars. Krishna is the Amshi. The others are Amshas. So therefore, for Krishna to use aham, maya, mama, mom, etc. Nothing wrong. And throughout Bhagavad Gita, interestingly, I don't know how many of you noticed this. Practically, 90% of what Krishna uses, aham, maya, mama, etc., it either refers to some other expansion of Krishna or it can equally apply to any of the expansions of Krishna. Very few verses where aham, mama, maya, etc. specifically refers only to Krishna as Krishna. Okay. But still, that kind of a usage actually indicates Krishna's being the Amshi and the Avatari and the source of all the avatars. Deeparchi reva hi dashantaram abhyupetya deepayate vivrta hetu samana dharma. Yes, Tadrgeva hicha Vishnu Taya Vibhati Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, as Brahmaji says. So he is the original lamp from which all the lamps manifest. So therefore for Krishna to say, oh, this is my light, even though the light may be manifesting from some other lamp, it is nothing wrong. This is my light, like that. So here Krishna says, maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Here the word maya very specifically refers to Karanabhata Sai Vishnu and not Krishna himself. By my direction, prakriti gives rise to the universe of moving and non-moving entities, because it is Karanabhata Sai Vishnu who glances at prakriti and empowers it. Morning we saw in our Bhagavatam. So that glance contains, you know, Kala, Karma and Swabhava. Kala, Karma and Swabhava. Kalat Gunavyatikaraha Parinamat Swabhavataha Karmano Janma Mahataha Purushadishtitata Bhut, as Krishna says. So it is by that glance that he empowers the prakriti, which actually manifests the moving and non-moving entities. Anena hetuna, by this cause, O son of Kunti, jagat viparivartate, the universes appear again and again. By my direction, prakriti creates the moving and non-moving entities in this universe, because of which the universes appear again and again. By my direction means by the direction of my Amsha Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. But still, I will say Maya, Maya Adhyakshena. Nothing wrong. Mayamsha only, na? What is wrong in that? So, Arjuna may say, I cannot accept that you are indifferent in your acts such as creation. Because Krishna said that, you know, I create, I maintain, I protect, but I am detached, I am indifferent. Nachamam tani karmani nibadnanti dhananjaya. Bhutabrin nacha bhutasto mamatma bhutabhavana. You know. So he says that, you know, I am detached completely. But Arjuna may say, I cannot accept that you are indifferent in your acts such as creation. He says, by my direction as the efficient cause, Prakriti gives rise to this universe of moving and non-moving entities. I only glance. By my glance, Prakriti carries out, you know, the universe of moving and non-moving entities. So he says, the efficient cause is distinguished from the material cause. The material cause, like we saw in the morning, the material cause is the clay. The efficient cause is the potter. So the clay, so for a pot to manifest, you need clay and the potter. Okay. So the potter is the efficient cause and the clay is the material cause of the pot. So in this creation of this material world, generally, Prakriti is said to be the material cause and Kala, time, is said to be the efficient cause. Because time agitates the three gunas, gets the three gunas into action, and then finally by the action of the three gunas within the framework of time, you know, various things are created, various things are destroyed, and so on. So time is generally said to be the efficient cause. But because Kala and Prakriti both are energies of Krishna, ultimately Krishna is said to be both the material cause and the efficient cause of this universe. So he says, I am only the director. It is like the duties of the kingdom going under the kings, like Ambarish, through their ministers. So Ambarish is Krishna, or in this case Karnodaka Sai Vishnu, and ministers is Maya Devi. The actual hands-on, you know, kingly activities are the duties within a kingdom are carried out by the ministers, but it is all happening under the direction of the king. In that situation, the king remains aloof. But just as nothing can be done by the ministers without the king sitting on the throne, so unconscious matter can do nothing without my directorship in the form of my presence and authority. By this cause, by my presence, this world is repeatedly created. Okay. So, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Okay. Material nature cannot act independently. Material nature cannot act independently. It has to act under my guidance. But I am the Hetu. By my presence in this world, by my presence, this world is repeatedly created. That's what he is indicating here. Okay, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add? Okay, there is something in the chat box. Let's take that first. In the meantime, if others have some questions, comments, you can please raise your hand or type your questions in the chat box. Okay. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah, does it refer to Krishna himself? No. It refers to Krishna also. But the Janma and Karma of all the other forms of Lord Ramachandra is also Divyam. The Janma and Karma of Lord Narasimha is also Divyam. So it does not specifically refer only to Krishna. Is this also the reason why people in general think Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu? Is this also means, is what also? It's not very clear. Can you clarify, Mataji, what is this means? What?
mean, here when Krishna says Maya, Dakshina, Prakriti, all these examples where we saw that Krishna's referring to his, Amshas. But people generally know that Vishnu to be the ultimate. And so they think, when Krishna speaks, Krishna is part of Vishnu and then avatar of Vishnu. So he speaks about himself. They consider Vishnu to be the avatari and Krishna as an avatar of Vishnu. So since Krishna is not specifically mentioning here that his different Amshas are doing that, so is this that a reason that
See,
people, I mean,
actually, people should object if they thought Krishna was just an avatar of Vishnu. Ideally, they should object to the avatari. Like for example, the prime minister can say that, "Look what I have done," referring to what his finance minister has done. But the finance minister cannot say anything beyond the portfolio of finance ministry if something has done, "Oh, look, see what I have done." He cannot say that. Even though he may belong to the same ruling government, he cannot say, he may say, "Look what our government has done." But the prime minister, under whom everyone is there, he can say, "Look what I have done. Nothing wrong," because under him everyone is there. But the finance minister cannot say that, "Look what I have done," and showing that, the sports ministry, "Look what I have done." You have done? You are just the finance minister. How can you say that what you have done? So therefore, ideally, if someone says Krishna is just the avatar of Vishnu, then they should raise objection to Krishna's using this word aham, maya, mama here, because how can the avatari claim to be performing activities which actually the avatari is performing? That should not be the case, actually.
okay, so in that case, so then what makes them think that in spite of Krishna being very clear about these things that way, so what makes them think that Vishnu is an avatar and I mean Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu? So
Well, because
because
Krishna does come through the agency of,
agents of
agency. He comes through the agency. So therefore, they may think that, like for example, a scorpion may come through the agency of a bag of rice. But rice does not become the source of the scorpion. So similarly, Krishna may come through the agency, or some other avatars may come through the agency of Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, so or the devatas came and offered their prayers to Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, and then Krishna appeared. So people may think that, oh, Krishna is an avatara of Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, like that. But in reality, this is not true.
and there are also certain verses like Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hrudyeshi Arjuna Tishtati. So like it is Krishna speaking as a third person. So sometimes that is little that people get confused by that also.
Krishna does say like that. But in other verses, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hrudyeshe Arjuna Tishtati Aham Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto. He says that
Yeah,
also.
other places he says. Yeah, most of the places he says. Of course, I think one or two places
This
is
is the
what he
only
speaks
place
it in
where
the.
he says, as a third person he speaks like this.
Yeah.
But rest of the places Krishna says, "Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto," "I am present in everyone's heart as the Paramatma," like that.
Okay. Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Okay. Could Arjuna understand that Krishna was telling of Amshas and as well as himself? Arjuna always knew. But Arjuna, here under the influence of Yoga Maya, speaks as if he does not understand anything. But Arjuna always knew. Arjuna is an eternal associate of Krishna. Arjuna always knew. Krishna referring to himself as third person in few shlokas is that to accommodate impersonalists. Well, we have to go to those shlokas and see how the acharyas explain. Okay. Because you brought out this point, let's go to this particular verse and see how the acharyas explain. Okay. Let me just stop sharing this for a moment and let's go to that particular verse and see how the acharyas are explaining that particular verse. Okay. So let me open my this thing. Give me a second. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. Hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. Let's see. This is 18.61. Bhagavad Gita 18.61. Okay, so let's see what the acharyas explain about this particular verse to see why this kind of a third person usage is there. I will share the screen with you. Just give me 1 second. Okay. Okay, 18.61. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayam sarvabhutani yantra rudani mayaya. Srila Prabhupada's translation. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all the living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. So Vishnu Chakradhara says, O Arjuna, the Lord is situated in the heart of all living entities. O Arjuna, the Lord is situated in the heart of all living entities. So here, Sri Vishnu Chakradhara says, having stated the views of the advocates of innate nature, Swabhava, or according to the Swabhava Vad, in two verses, the Lord now states his own view. The Lord Narayana is the Antaryami. So, okay, what was the previous verse 60? Svabhavajena kaunteya nibaddha svena karmana kartum nechasi yanmohat karishyati avashopitat. So in the previous few verses, Krishna speaks about the various incorrect philosophies. Like in the second chapter, he talks about, you know, the theory of the Charvak philosophy, Lokayatika philosophy, and so on, Vaibhashika philosophy. You know, Karma Mimamsa philosophy, like that he quotes various philosophies that even if you do not accept the proper Vedic philosophy, and if you actually, even if you accept these kind of improper philosophies, still you have no reason to lament. So because here Krishna is in the last few verses has been quoting the other philosophies. Now in the 61st verse, he is quoting his own understanding of the connection between Jiva, Ishvara and Prakriti. So what is the connection between Jiva, Ishvara and Prakriti? According to my opinion, Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayam sarvabhutani yantrarudani mayaya. What is that connection, O Arjuna? The Lord is situated. So what is the connection between he, Ishvara and Jiva? He says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. So the context of Krishna using the third person here is his refuting the previous theories and presenting his own opinion about what is the connection between Jiva, Ishvara and Prakriti. He says, the Lord is situated in the heart of all living entities. By his energy, he engages them mounted in their bodies in action. The other people say, oh no, everything is happening according to the swabhava of the living entity. So here Krishna says, no, not everything is happening according to the swabhava. But I am situated in the, or he says, but the Ishvara is situated in the heart of all living entities. And through his energy, he engages the living entities who are mounted in their bodies in action. That is why, according to Srila Baldev Devabhushan, he here, sorry, Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur says, having stated the views of the advocates of Swabhavavad, in two verses, Lord now states his own view. Like that. So, what does he do? By his own Shakti, he makes all the living entities engage in their respective actions. Okay, like that. Srila Baladeva Vidya Bhushan says, seeing that Arjuna still seemed to have the false concept of thinking that he knew everything, and because of Arjuna's inability to give that up, the Lord then teaches in a different way in two verses. O Arjuna, even though you think that your knowledge is your own, you know that only through the Supreme Lord as the Antaryami. You know only through the Supreme Lord as the Antaryami. The Lord is situated in the hearts of all beings from Brahma down to the non-moving creatures. And he makes them wander about by his Shakti. Okay. Anyways, like that. Therefore, he says, Tameva Sharanam Gacchat. Sarva bhavena bharata tat prasadat param shantim sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. He says, O Bharata, surrender unto him utterly. Like that. Because he has used the word Ishvara sarva bhutanam. Therefore, in the very next verse, if he says, mamekam sharanam raja, it would sound awkward. Therefore, Ishvara is situated in everyone's heart, therefore surrender unto me, because then that would sound very awkward. Therefore he says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Because in the previous verse he said, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Like that. Okay. Any other quick discussion points, comments, questions before we continue this discussion further? Okay, if there is none, let's continue our discussion. So Krishna says, Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. O Arjuna, by my direction, prakriti gives rise to the universe of moving and non-moving entities. By this cause, the universes appear again and again. So, yes, so that's what he says here. So then Krishna continues. So Krishna has given the Aishwarya Gyan, which is essential to appreciate Krishna's lordship. So appreciation of Krishna starts with appreciating him as his Purushavataras. That is where appreciation of Krishna starts. Okay. Srishti Leela. Okay, Srishti Leela. Srishti Leela, Sthiti Leela. You know, creation and maintenance of this material world. You know, it is very important that one understands that aspect of Krishna, his Aishwarya, especially with respect to this creation, maintenance, and destruction of this material universe. This is very critical to understand. Then Krishna says that. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhutamaheshwaram. Avajananti mam mudha. Mudha, the fools, deride me. Mam avajananti. Why? And who am I? Bhutamaheshwaram. I am the Lord of all beings, but the fools deride me. Manushim tanum ashritam. In this eternal human form, when I appear in this eternal human form, avajananti mam mudha. Here also, the word mam, here the word mam specifically refers to Krishna. Because he says manushim tanum. Even though this principle is applicable to all the living entities. Even though this principle is applicable to all the avatars of Krishna, you know, because there are many avatars which appear in human form. Parashurama, Lord Ramachandra, or even if he appears in his Matsyakurma Varaha Ityadi avataras, still Avajananti Maam Mooda, the fools deride Krishna. Manushim Tanum Ashritam, in his eternal human form or in his eternal animal form or in his eternal aquatic form as Matsyavatar, Kachapavatar. Okay. Mama Param Bhavam Ajananto, not knowing that I am the great Lord of the Brahman, higher than everything else. Mama Param Bhavam Ajananto, not understanding the transcendental nature of my form, fools deride me. So fools means those unfortunate people who did not have an opportunity to develop faith in bhakti. So this is not a critical usage of the word fool. Fools cannot be criticized. Okay. They are foolish in this particular case because they are unfortunate. Because they are unfortunate, because bhaktya mam abhijanati. To understand Krishna properly, one needs bhakti, one should have bhakti. Right? And one can get bhakti only if one is fortunate enough to accumulate sukriti through the fortunate association of devotees. Okay. So avajananti maam mooda. If one is mentioned to be as mooda, what it means is that these unfortunate people, they don't have faith in the path of bhakti because they didn't have the fortunate opportunity to come in touch with devotees and receive sukriti. That is the meaning. Okay. So here, Arjuna says, that well-known Mahapurusha lying on the Karna ocean with Sachidananda form, spreading himself through millions of universes, who creates the universe by his own energy, is indeed you. But some say in deprecation that when you come as the son of Vasudev with human-like form, it is just an amsha of that Mahapurusha. So this is another meaning of avajananti maam moodha, manushim tanum ashritam. Param bhavam ajananto. Okay. So this is a different explanation. Different acharyas give different explanation. So who is a fool? Mooda. That foolish person. Mam avajananti. He does not understand me. Bhuta Maheshwaram, the Lord of all beings. Manushim tanum ashritam. In this eternal human form. So, if you take this explanation of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, here the word mam specifically refers to Krishna. Why? Let us see. Mama param bhavam ajananto. Not knowing that I am the great Lord of the Brahman, higher than all these Purushavataras. Greater than all these Purushavataras. But some people say, Arjuna says, I understand that this Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, the Mahapurusha lying in the Karanodaka ocean, he is you or he is your Amsha. But some say that when you appear as the son of Vasudev with a human-like form, then they say that you are an Amsha of Mahapurusha or Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. You are an Amsha of Vishnu. Okay. In response to this, the Lord speaks this verse. The Lord says, yes, they deride this human-like form that I assume. So, derision means what? Even to say this is an Amsha of Vishnu or the Purushavatara is a derision because it is not complete proper understanding of the Supreme Lord. This is not proper understanding of the Supreme Lord. They do not know that this human-like body is the Supreme Form. parambhavam ajananto. Ramadi murtishu kala niyamena tishtan nana vadaram akarod bhuvaneshu kintu krishna swayam samabhavat paramappumanyo govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Okay, I quoted this verse from Brahma Samhita, but for this particular verse there is a more appropriate verse from Brahma Samhita which best suits the principle that Krishna is explaining in this verse according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. What is that verse of Brahma Samhita which best suits the concept that Krishna is explaining here? Would anyone like to share your thoughts? Which verse of Brahma Samhita best suits the principle that Krishna is trying to explain here? No, I am not an expansion of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. Rather, Karanodaka Sai Vishnu is my expansion. Which verse of Brahma Samhita indicates this point? Anyone knows? Yes, what is that verse? Vishnur Mahan Saihayasya Kala Visheshu. Perfect. Which is that verse? How does that verse begin? Vishnur Mahan Saihayasya Kala Visheshu. Perfect. That is the right. What is the beginning of that verse? What is the beginning of that verse? Anyone knows? If you don't know, you can check your folio. Vishnur. It is Vishnur Mahan Sa Iha Yasya Kala Visheshu Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. What is that verse in which he says that universe Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastha? No. What is that? Vishnur Mahan Saiha Yasya Kala Visheshu. I mean, you all have folio. Why you are taking so much time? I'm not able to recollect, otherwise I would have definitely found it out. Which is that verse? Vishnur Mahan Saihayasya Kala Visheshu. Okay, find that out. That is the verse which more appropriately describes this particular verse where Krishna says, someone may say, yes, I do understand that Karanodaka Sai Vishnu or Mahavishnu is your Amsha. But some people say that you, when you appear in your 200 form, you are an expansion or an avatar of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. How do we understand this? He says, Avajananti ma mudha. They think because I come like a small ordinary child, they think that how can the ordinary form of a child in a 200 form? Yeah, this is the one. Yak karanarnavajale bhajatisma yoga nidram ananta jagadanda saroma kupaha adhara shaktim avalambya paramsva murtim. Okay, this also. Yasyaika, yeah, this is the one. Yasyaika nishvasita kalam ata avalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadanda nataha vishnur mahan saihayasya kala visheshu govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Yeah, this is the right verse. Yasyaika nishvasita kalam ata avalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadanda nataha. By the time it takes for him between one inhalation and one exhalation is the lifespan of Brahma. Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadanda Nata, who is the Lord of this whole Jagadanda, Brahmaji, his lifespan is just one inhalation and exhalation time. The time between one inhalation and exhalation of Mahavishnu. Vishnur Mahan. That Mahavishnu Iha Yasya Kala Visheshu is just an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So therefore, someone who says that, Krishna is just an expansion of Mahavishnu is Avajananti Ma Mudha. Mudha here means ill-informed person. He does not know. Mama parambhava majananto. He does not understand the supreme nature of my form as Krishna, as the source of all the other incarnations. He does not understand this. He says, it is my swarupa, my actual form, more attractive than and superior to the Mahapurusha lying on the Karana ocean and other forms as well. Now, what type of form is this? This is the highest truth, Bhuta, meaning Brahman, and it is the great Lord, Maheshwaram. The phrase great Lord excludes other meanings of the words Bhuta. This is the highest truth and it is the great Lord. According to the Amarakosha, Bhuta has various meanings such as truth, the elements like earth or being fit. Like that. The Shruti says, Tamekam Govindam Sachidananda Vigraham Vrindavana Surabhuruha Bhavanasinam Satatam sa marudganoham paramaya stutya toshayami. Gopal Tapani Upanishad says, I constantly satisfy with praises along with the maruts that one Govinda with Sachidananda form sitting beneath a desired tree. Vrindavana surabhuruha bhavanasinam. The Smriti says, Narakriti param brahma or param brahma narakriti. The supreme Brahman has a human form. Referring to Krishna. Thus, my knowledgeable devotees describe my human-like body as being Sachidananda. So some people may say, when Krishna appears as an avatara, they may say that body is not even Sachidananda, that is even worse. Some people may say, that form is inferior to the form of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu because Karanodaka Sai Vishnu is the avatari and Krishna's form is the avatara form. They are also foolish. But if someone thinks that this form is material, they are even more foolish. Then Krishna says, my mother Yashoda also saw that Sachidananda form during my childhood, that form which extended over the whole universe. Okay. When Krishna opened his mouth and showed that form to Mother Yashoda. My mother also saw that Sachidananda form during my childhood, that form which extended over the whole universe. Or another meaning of Parambhavam is as follows. So the first meaning of Parambhavam was that it was superior to the form of Mahavishnu. Parambhavam. It is superior to the form of Mahavishnu. So, or another meaning is as follows. What is the other meaning? The last line describes the reality of that. Manushim Tanum. That human form is the most exalted state. Vishuddha Sattva, a Swarupa of Sachidananda. Parambhava Majananto. They do not understand that this human form is Vishuddha Sattva, Sachidananda Vigraha. They do not understand this. Amarakosha says, Bhava means state, one's nature or intention. That highest state is then detailed. What is that highest state? I am the great Lord Maheshwaram of being such as Brahma, Bhuta, whom I create. Sarva Bhuta Maheshwaram. Avajananti maam moodha manushim tanum ashritam param bhava majananto mama Bhuta Maheshwaram. Bhuta Maheshwaram. I am the great Lord Maheshwar of Bhuta, of all the living beings such as Brahma. This means that I, the Lord of Brahma and others, unlike the Jivas, since I am their Lord, I am not different from my human body. All the other Jivas, they are different from their body. Their body is material, but they themselves as the soul are spiritual. But for Krishna, Krishna is non-different from his body. Okay. So, when I appear in a human-like form, people think I am also just like an ordinary human being. Okay. This is the second meaning of this verse. Okay. The first meaning is, people think that I am just an avatara of Mahavishnu. Second meaning is, when I appear as a human being, people think I am just like any other ordinary human being. This is the second meaning. Both are modas. I am my body. But a jiva cannot say like that. My body is myself, and that body is Brahman. Shukadev, who is knowledgeable, says, my body is directly Brahman. Shukadev Goswami in Bhagavatam says, Shabdam Brahma Dadad Bapuhu. Then in the Satya Yuga, the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, being pleased, showed himself to that Kardama Muni and displayed his transcendental form, which can be understood only through the Vedas. Shabdam Brahma Dadad Bapuhu. This should be accepted by persons like you. So therefore he says, Avajananti maam muda manushim tanum ashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Foolish people think that I am an expansion of Karanodak Sai Vishnu. Param bhavam ajananto. They do not understand that my form is superior to the form of Mahavishnu. Rather, it is the source of that form of Mahavishnu. They do not understand that. Param bhavam ajananto. That is one meaning. Another meaning is, avajananti maam muda manushim tanum ashritam. Foolish people deride me when I appear in this human-like form, thinking that I am one of them. Param bhavam ajananto. They do not understand that my form is Sachidananda Vigraha. It is an eternal transcendental form full of bliss and knowledge. They do not understand this. Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram, they do not understand that this form, human-like form, is the supreme lord of all the living entities, including Brahma. They do not understand this. This is the second meaning. And this is the meaning Srila Prabhupada also gives. Like that. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as that? Okay, there is one question here. Namam Dushkutino Muda Prapadyante Naradama Maya Paritagyanasuram Bhavam Ashrita. Here also Muda means the same, those who have no faith. Yeah, here also Muda means those who do not have faith. Right. Shri Vidya Mataji.
So, Prabhu, what about the other some Vaishnava Sampradaya who is Narayana to be the
to
be superior or
particular verse which was described. They will not make a comparison of Mahavishnu and Krishna. They will say, oh, Krishna's form is transcendental, but when Krishna appears in this human-like form, people think that this form is just like any other human form, not understanding that this form is transcendental. That's how they will explain. So Muda means what? Muda means they are not, they don't know that specific knowledge. They don't have that specific knowledge, they may not have. So, like for example, some Acharya may not be knowledgeable of complex three-dimensional trigonometry. So in one sense, if you see, in that particular, even though we for not wanting to be disrespectful, we may not use the word muda, but he's not cognizant of that particular knowledge. So here also the other sampradayas, for a specific reason, Krishna shields that knowledge from them because they are attracted to worshipping a form of the Lord which is filled with lot of Aishwarya in a mood of awe and reverence. So therefore, Krishna's superiority over that form, that knowledge they are is not revealed to them. That is how we understand. So that knowledge is not revealed to them. So, yes. Is that okay, Madhuri?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, there is another question. In Bhagavad Gita 4.5 purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, Krishna remembered acts which were performed by him millions of years before, but Arjuna could not, despite the fact that both Krishna and Arjuna are eternal in nature. We may also note herein that a living entity forgets everything due to his change of body, but the Lord remembers because he does not change his Sachidananda body. He is Advaita, which means there is no distinction between his body and himself. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Yes, the same point is being made here. Okay. Okay. So, okay, just give me 1 second. Okay. So, okay. So now some of you joined late. For the last 2 weeks, we have changed the time of our Friday Bhagavad Gita class. I am again reminding you that the Bhagavad Gita session on Friday is no longer, it no longer starts at 8 p.m. Indian Standard Time. It starts at 7 p.m. Indian Standard Time, 7 to 9. That is the time. It's no longer 8 p.m. It was 8 to 9:30. Nowadays, it has changed. It is 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those of you like Mother Gail who are joining from the United States, for you, it would be 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right now, it's 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States. East Coast. So we start at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Indian Standard Time. Please note down, it's no longer 8 p.m. So from next time, you can ensure that you make that adjustment so that you can join on time. Anyways, let's continue. Then Krishna continues. He says, Mogashamogakarmano mogajnana vichetasah rakshasi masurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritah. Vichetasah, among those who cannot distinguish this truth, vichetasah, those who are not conscious, chetana means consciousness, vichetasah, unconscious, those who are not conscious of this truth, or those who cannot distinguish this truth, Moga Asha. Mogha means, the word Mogha means deprived. Asha means hope. So, those who do not accept this, especially the second explanation, those who do not accept the transcendental nature of Krishna's form and existence, rather who consider that when Krishna appears in a human-like form, he is just like any other ordinary human being. People who have this kind of an understanding, Moga Asha. Moga Asha means, those who are devotees do not gain salokya. Okay. Mogha karmano, and those who are karmis do not attain their material fruits. Mogha jnana, and those who are jnanis do not attain liberation. If you do not accept the transcendental nature of Krishna's body and Krishna's appearance, Moga Asha மோக கர்மானோ மோக ஜான விசேதசாக விசேதசக. Those who cannot, those who do not accept this truth, those who do not accept the transcendental nature of Krishna's body, if they are devotees, they will not gain salokya, they will not attain the abode of the Supreme Lord. Those who are karmis, they will not attain their material fruits. And those who are jnanis will not attain liberation. So therefore, acceptance of the form of the Lord to be transcendental is mandatory for any practitioner to get the fruit of their activities. Tapasvino, dhanapara, yashasvino, manasvino, mantravida, sumangala, kshemam, na vindanti vinayadarpanam, tasmei subhadrashravase namo namaha. So, vichakshanaya charanopasadana, sangam yudasya ubayatontaratmanaha, விந்தந்தி ஹி பிரம்ம சுகம் கதக்லமாஹ தஸ்மை சுபத்ர ஸ்ரவசே நமோ நமஹ. சுகதேவ கோஸ்வாமி சேஸ் தட் ஈவன் த ஜானிஸ் விசக்ஷணா யத் சரண உபசாதனா, ஒன்லி பை த சாதனா ஆஃப் வர்ஷிப்பிங் த லோட்டஸ் ஃபீட் ஆஃப் கிருஷ்ணா ஆர் த லோட்டஸ் ஃபீட் ஆஃப் த பர்சனல் ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் த லார்ட், விந்தந்தி ஹி பிரம்ம சுகம் கதக்லம, ஈவன் டு அட்டைன் த டெஸ்டினேஷன் ஆஃப் பிரம்மன் ஃப்ரீ ஆஃப் எனி problems, they can attain only if they worship the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So, if they are devotees, if devotees who wish to go to the abode of the Supreme Lord reject, do not accept that the form of the Lord is transcendental, then they cannot attain that goal. If the karma yogis aspiring for some material benefits, if they do not accept the personal form of the Lord, they cannot attain the results of karma. And similarly, if the jnana yogis do not accept the personal form, do not worship the personal form of the Lord, they cannot attain liberation. And what do they attain? Mohinim prakritim shritaha. They assume the nature of rakshasim asurim chaiva, of the rakshasas and the asuras. Okay. Now, what is the explanation of the acharyas here? What is the destination of those who do not accept you, Krishna, as the Lord and think you have a human material body? So, people who think that you have a human material body, what is their position? Of course, here, this verse should not be taken to mean those people who may consider Krishna to be an avatara of Lord Narayana. This does not refer to them. Okay. That explanation should not be brought in here. Even if devotees are in this condition, their aspirations are in vain, mogasha. If they think that Krishna, when he appears in his 200 form or any other avatara, when they appear in a material looking form, if they think that this form is material, then mogasha. Their aspirations for attaining either prema or the abode of the Supreme Lord will be in vain. They do not achieve salokya or whatever else they have desired. If they are karmis and then they do not attain the desired results of their actions such as swarga. If they are jnanis, they do not attain the result of knowledge, that is liberation. And what do they attain? They assume the nature of rakshasas. What is the nature of akshasas, rakshasas? Rakshasim asurim chaiva prakriti. Rakshasi asuri prakriti means they attain a nature which is either predominantly rajoguni or tamoguni. That's what it means. Because the rakshasas have tamoguni prakriti and the asuras have rajoguni prakriti. So generally, those who reject Krishna's form or consider Krishna's form or the form of any of his other incarnations to be material, they develop a predominantly rajoguni or tamoguni prakriti. That's what it means. That is the meaning of rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shrita. That is the meaning. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to ask? Okay, there are two questions already in the chat box. How will they get mercy then? they will get mercy by the association of Vaishnavas. That is the only source of mercy to this whole universe. Association of Vaishnavas is the only mercy. There is no other source of mercy. Okay, next question. I wanted to understand changes in Krishna's body from childhood to youth. That is only in the Bhauma Leela. That is only in the Bhauma Leela. It seems to grow till 16 years old, you know, Kaishoravastha, and after that it doesn't age. Okay. But these forms are also eternal. You know, these forms are also eternal. It is not that one body, you know, Krishna in his Balyavastha is eternal. As soon as Krishna's Balyavastha pastimes end, that Balya form moves on to another universe. And then from whichever universe Krishna was performing his Pauganda Leela, that Pauganda form manifests in this particular universe. And then when the Pauganda Leela gets over in this universe, this Pauganda form goes to the next universe where Pauganda Leela starts. Then Krishna's Kaishora form from whatever the previous universe where Krishna's Kaishora Avastha was happening, that Kaishora form manifests here. Just like, you know, when it is time for Matsya Avatar to manifest in this particular universe, from whichever universe Matsya Avatar just ended, from that universe that Matsya Rupa manifests in this particular universe. And when the Matsya Avatar gets, time for Matsya Avatar gets over, when his pastime gets over, and then moves on to the next universe where that. So similarly, you should see, you know, Kaumaram, Paugandam, Balyam, Kaumaram, Paugandam, Kaishoram, when these forms are also eternal forms, you know. So when the Balya Leela gets over here, then this Balya form is transferred to the next universe where the Balya pastime happens. You know, that is the kind of transformation. You know, it's not that all these forms are eternal like that. How Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave up his beautiful hair before taking sannyas? Was this a pastime? Yeah, this was a Bhauma Leela pastime, I think. I don't know for sure. In Shvetadvip, does he have the form of a sannyasi? I am not very sure. Probably. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know those details. I'm sorry, I cannot answer this. Okay. Anything else before we move on? Okay. If there is none, let's continue our discussion. Krishna further says, on one hand, he says, Avajananti maam muda manushintanam ashritam mogasha moga karmanam mogajnanam chetasa. On the other hand, mahatmanastu maam partha daivim prakriti mashritaha bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutadim avyayam. Mahatmanaha, the fortunate souls. Here the word tu is used. Tu means but. But the fortunate souls. The word tu is used to contrast. So he is using the word mahatmanas tu to contrast the mahatmas with mudas. Okay. So, which means Mahatma and Mudas are antonyms in one sense. They are opposite. So, Muda means fools. Maha, great Atma also means intelligence. So, Mahatma can refer to those with great intelligence. But if you see here, they are translated as fortunate souls. So, if you understand this, then mudas are mudas because they are unfortunate. So what is this fortune? He says, what is this fortune? He says, but those men who attain greatness by unpredictable mercy of my devotees attain the nature of the devas. Daivim prakritim ashrita. Rather than the asuri prakriti, they accept the daivi prakriti. So what is asuri prakriti? Vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asurastad viparyaya. Because they reject my personal form, therefore it is almost atheistic. So therefore they develop atheistic prakriti, asuri prakriti. But daivi prakriti means the prakriti of devas or devotees. So mahatmas means they are mahatmas because they have greatness by the unpredictable mercy of my devotees. But those who do not have that mercy of my devotees, they remain muda. So if mahatmas are fortunate souls, then mudas are unfortunate souls. So unfortunate souls need mercy. So they deserve mercy. Unfortunate souls deserve mercy. Okay. So, but mahatmanah, the fortunate souls, daivim prakritim ashritaha, attaining the deva nature. Deva nature means the nature to worship Krishna. Okay. Bhajanti ananya manaso. Worship my human form with no distractions. Ananya manaso means jnana karmadi anavritam. Okay, and also you can say anya bilashita shunyam also. They are neither distracted by other goals nor are they distracted by the other processes. Ananya manaso. Anya bilashita shunyam. Okay. Bhajanti ananya manaso. Gyatva bhutadim. Knowing that my human like body is the cause of all things. Bhuta adim. Adim means the cause. Understanding my human like body is the cause of all things. And avyayam. And is indestructible, being fully spiritual. Because anything material can be destroyed. Anything spiritual does not get destroyed. So, avajananti maam muda manushim tanum ashritam. Parambhavam ajananto. Mudas parambhavam ajananto. Mahatmanaha gyatva bhutadim avyayam. They understand my form to be the cause of all the things and avyayam, indestructible. Like that. But those men who attain greatness by unpredictable mercy of my devotees attain the nature of the devas. What is the nature of the devas? Bhakti. And how does one get bhakti? By the mercy of Vaishnavas. One gets Agyata Smriti. Their minds do not dwell on such things as desire for jnana or karma. Ananya manaso. That is the meaning of ananya manasa. By knowledge of my powers, like maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina, by knowledge of my powers, they know that I am the cause of all the unlimited bodies, starting with Brahma, bhutadim. Gyatva bhutadim avyayam. They know that I am indestructible since I have a body of Satchidananda. For understanding that I am worthy of worship, they should have at least this much knowledge of me. That I have a transcendental body which is indestructible, which is fit to be worshipped, which is the source of all the other things in this material world. Gyatva, knowing this, they worship me. Bhajanti ananya manaso. It should be understood that this bhakti, which is not dependent on karma or jnana, which aim at realization of Atma, Tvam, and which is exclusively centered on the Lord, is the best of all, the king of knowledge, the king of secrets. Rajavidya, Rajagukhyam, Pavitram, Midamuttamam. This is what was mentioned as the king of all knowledge, Rajavidya. Okay. So, Mahatmanastu Maam Partha. So, in order to contrast with Avajananti Maam Mooda, he says, Mahatmanastu Maam Partha Daivim Prakritim Ashrit Bhajanti Ananya Manaso Gyatva Bhutadim Abhyayam. Okay, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay, there is one question in the chat box. Those who think both Mahavishnu and Krishna are of Sachidananda nature, but Krishna is an avatar of Mahavishnu, then what will be their destination? Salokya, as they are not deriding Krishna's material. Yeah, yeah. Whomever they are worshipping, you know, if they are worshipping Lord Narayana with pure devotional faith, they will attain prema towards Lord Narayana and they will attain the planet of Narayana and serve him in prema. If they have Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, either Karma Mishra Bhakti, if towards Lord Narayana, then they will attain Salokya Mukti in Vaikuntha. If they perform Jnana Mishra Bhakti or Yoga Mishra Bhakti towards Lord Narayana, then they may attain Shantarati in Vaikuntha. So, yeah, they will definitely attain their destination. That's not a problem. Anything else before we wind up? We have 7 more minutes. Okay, yes, Shri Vidya Mataji.
So, Prabhuji, how do we compare this with this Chaturvita Bhajan Tema, where Krishna says that they are also Udharata, right? Udharata. Mm-hmm. So, there also he told them, he used to mention them as, being magnanimous souls.
Yeah.
So is this type of devotee, position, then those Udara?
Can you please speak close to the mic? Your voice is trailing off again and again.
Sorry, Prabhuji. I just wanted to know, how do we compare this with Chaturvita Bhajan Tema? Krishna says, and then we compare them also, like they are, magnanimous soul, right, in the 7th chapter.
Udara Sarvaye Vaite, he says.
So, how do we hear, he says that the people who, but those Chaturvita Bhajan Tema may not be understanding, may not have the knowledge of transcendental form of Lord, but still he...
Well, they may not understand what?
The transcendental form of the Lord, right?
But no, they 100% they understand. They 100% understand the transcendental form of the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah, that is why they are called as... that is why they are surrendering to the Lord. That is called as Chaturvida Bhajante. The word bhajan is used only when that worship is carried out with the understanding that the form of the Lord is transcendental. Otherwise, it is not at all called bhajan.
Okay.
So definitely they have to accept the form of the Lord to be transcendental.
Okay. So otherwise, they are not fit to be under that category. Do not come under this category also.
Even though?
Okay. So, otherwise they do not come under this 4 categories also. If they don't accept Krishna's form of consciousness, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Okay. I don't wish to start a new verse. Now we just have 3 minutes left. So I think we will pause here. We will continue this discussion. Wait. Next Friday is, today is 20th, next Friday is 27th. So next Friday we will not have our Bhagavad Gita class because I will be traveling to Chowpatty. Because Saturday is Sharat Purnima. So generally I travel on a Saturday. But this time I'm traveling on Friday. Last month also I traveled on Friday because Saturday was Radhashtami. this month also I'm traveling on a Friday because Saturday is Sharad Purnima. So next Friday we will not have our Bhagavad Gita class. I really apologize for this. But the Friday after that we will definitely have our Bhagavad Gita class. But thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion a fortnight from now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.